is the Tom Likas Show.
I like the cut of your jib.
The cut of your jib.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Look at you.
Don't be stupid.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me in another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are joined in this bonus hour by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Hey, Tom. Good to be on with you. How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
Well, I've been thinking about what you were talking about in the past hour, about this civility change. And it definitely shows in family law. There's no doubt about it. It's really true that people will do what's possible, and that's a big problem. There's a great thing I learned in law school, which was just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And by giving these tools to women, as the courts have and as the law has, they use it. Of course they use it. And you see how it might have been at one time that people would, you know, separate or get divorced, and they would remarry, and they would, you know, go on with their lives. But by adding all the things that we've added to the mix now, where women can really go for a pound of flesh, humiliate the guy, take his property, ruin his life, prevent him from seeing his kids, since all these things are possible and at the woman's disposal, she uses them. And they used to call it the nuclear option, but now you're seeing that it's happening in 70 and 80% of cases. So it's not this unusual nuclear option anymore. I talked to a guy the other day, and it's just what you were talking about, Tom. He's involved with this woman for about 10 years, and they're doing fine, and they're getting along great. And she wants to, and you're going to like this, make it official. That's her line. She feels the need to make it official, which I guess for a woman means to get the raised seal of the Secretary of State and form a company. So she's pressing him, and he wants to protect himself, and he knows, you can see that he's nervous. You know, he knows that something's wrong. But the bottom line is this is what she wants, and she's, you know, pushing the agenda. And so he's calling me because he wants a prenuptial agreement to protect himself in some way. And, you know, Tom, you talk about being single around this time of year, approaching Valentine's Day. There's actually more than a few good reasons for that, because don't forget, women put a lot of pressure during Valentine's Day and this time of year to get the promise rings and the engagement rings. And so, you know, that's sort of setting up their plan for the engagement now in Valentine's Day in February for the June wedding. And this is a guy who called me, like I said, who already set his wedding date. And so I told him that, you know, a prenuptial agreement's not really going to work for him. And he just couldn't hear that. He kept saying to me, no, I really need one. I've got to do it. You got to show me a way. And it's like, you know, it's like he wants my endorsement. I remember you would get a lot of calls, Tom, in the past from guys that would tell you some screwed up story, but they essentially wanted you to, like, stamp off on it and agree to it.
They
you know?
Wanted my rubber stamp. Yeah. I'm about to do something stupid, Tom, and I just wanted you to sign off on
it. Yeah, so, I mean, it's worse for me as a lawyer. You know, they say, I want to do something that's not going to work legally, and I want you to sign off on it, you know? And, you know, the tragedy of a prenup, if you do it wrong, is that you keep it in a drawer somewhere and you forget about it. And then when you get the divorce, you know, 7 or 8 years later, you whip it out. And only then you realize, when your lawyer looks at it or they put it in front of the court, that it's not going to work. And, you know, you thought all these years that you were protected, but ultimately you got nothing. And you see the level of change. Now, one of the things that I think is really true, I don't think any of the callers mentioned this. I was talking to Gary about this, which is that there is a change in recent years with the Internet, where I think people are much more capable of being anonymous and sort of being a keyboard commando, where, you know, some guy that no one ever listens to, that, you know, isn't the boss, he's just like some peon in regular life, and he comes on the internet and he writes, you know, online something, you know, so-and-so is a piece of shit or whatever, and he's able to stand behind anonymity, you know, essentially as a troll. There's some debate in my neighborhood about building some new developments. And we have like a neighborhood online service. It's like the neighborhood association service. It's like you can post bulletin boards and stuff. And I wrote something that, you know, I didn't think it was such a bad idea to develop this hill. They're going to build a hotel there or something. And, you know, things have changed, Tom. I immediately got a message posted against me that I was a Nazi and I was a fascist and I was a corporate apologist and I'm a sexist and I'm a racist. You know, people used to save those words, you know, for later in the conversation, you know. Now it's the first instance, you know. The first thing they try to do instead of discussing with you what you've talked about is, you know, to discredit the person who actually made the comment. So if they can say that you're a fascist, then what's the point of responding to whether your argument has any merit or not, because you're a fascist. So obviously you're not even a human being worth talking to. And, you know, the connection now is that all of this applies to everything. So when you have what used to be, let's say, a divorce, which is never going to be friendly anyway, but you want to have, let's say, people that have kids, and you want to have some kind of a relationship that's going to, you know, be able to be at least civil between the mother and the father as the kids are growing up, to be able to, you know, share custody or whatever, you see that people just don't think that way. Not anymore. Now it's maximum damage. And, you know, one of the things, Tom, that you really pointed out to me, this goes back years. You were talking about some of the differences between men and women. And, you know, the feminist view was that, you know, men and women are essentially the same, and they're just sort of, you know, two sides of the same coin, and the differences are all socially taught. But the truth is that one thing that women are very much so is being nesters. You know, that's a word that I actually learned from you, Tom, you know. Is that a word, by the way? I don't know if you coined that one.
Well, that was by the way, I don't know if it's probably in the dictionary,
yeah,
by now.
You think so?
But that's a word that came in the 80s. It was just to describe people who, you know, like to spend all their time at home with the TV,
right,
and listening to music, and going out is not their thing. And so you've got women out there who are looking to settle down.
Right, that's even
what
they say.
And I always use as my example, a longtime girlfriend I had way back. Once we had an apartment and we had some furniture and we had some cooking utensils, she wanted to just live in the apartment. Like, she'd go to work, come home, and,
right,
and that was her goal. And she literally, back in the days when there was something called TV Guide.
Oh, TV
she
Guide.
She used to apprehend that at the mailbox. And she used to take a number 2 lead pencil and she used to circle all the shows that we would be watching in the next 7 days.
Plan the whole week, basically. all the entertainment mapped out.
No surprises.
Yes.
No going out. No meeting people. No parties. No. The whole idea was to go home, make some food, and be planted in front of the television set every single day for the rest of our lives.
Right, but the problem is that, you know, if you're a nester.
That's a nester.
I understand, but I think women are very much geared that way. And certainly women want to go out sometimes, you know, they're women that love to go to clubs or whatever. But when you look at nesting, fundamentally nesting is the opposite of planning. Planning is something very different. I mean, men are the ones that are investing. You know, if you open up Forbes magazine, they have all these pictures of women on the investment company pages, you know, in the advertising. But, you know, they're trying to get women to open investment accounts. But the truth is very few women invest at all. It's kind of a comedy. So the lack of thinking forward.
Women don't invest because their financial game plan is to spend every penny they have trying to attract the guy who will do all the investing for them and pay all their bills while they're at it.
By the way, I've seen arguments in YouTube videos from women that say that even in the modern times, the reason that men should pay for dates is because it costs a woman so much money to look pretty for the date, you know? So there's that same inequality. But one of the other consequences of a woman not planning is going berserk in a divorce. Now, I'll give you an example. As we see, people don't just break up anymore. The woman has to go and get a restraining order and make the guy lose his job and really screw him over on the custody. So at the end of the day, a couple of months go by, she has sole custody, she screws him over for all his visits, and he loses his job. So he doesn't have any income. So she may get an order for child support or even spousal support, alimony, but she's not going to collect anything because he doesn't make any money. Then she wants to have time without the kids. She wants to have a break. She wants to go out with her friends, and she can't because she has sole custody. She's got the kids all the time, and she's cut his custody off. So normally she would have had a break because he would have taken the kids at least some of the time or maybe even up to half of the amount of time. But no, of course not. She cut all that off. But when she was in court demanding it, it didn't occur to her what it was going to actually be. And this is, again, like I said, because women are nesting and they're not planning. They're not thinking about the consequences. And I think that's one of the biggest things. Now, if I'm in a neighborhood and I'm disagreeing about some building project with my neighbors and my neighbors call me a fascist, I don't see how that represents any longer term thinking or planning. Because fundamentally, this same neighbor is going to ask me to sign off on their building permit, and I'm not going to because I was called a fascist by them. And when you look at the consequences on the political level, if the parties in this country, the Republicans and the Democrats, don't work together, and they all feel very self-satisfied, you know, screwing each other over, in the end, as we see, you have gridlock, nothing gets accomplished, and the country is in deeper and deeper trouble. And no one's doing anything to basically avert going off the cliff. Now, how can that be logical? That's the crazy part. If you and I, Tom, are on a ship that's going over a waterfall, we have to get on that problem. But if the two of us are fighting and arguing, the ship is still getting closer and closer to the waterfall. We're not dealing
with
it.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, what was funny about this guy with the prenup is that I think he knew that he was making a terrible mistake. Like I said, he was with this woman for 10 years, and he was planning to marry her, and he wants a prenup, but it's too late because he's already set the date. But what's even more interesting is I said to him, you know, what's her plan and your plan for having kids? And he told me that she has agreed with him that they're not going to have kids. And she's in her early 30s. I mean, that is such stupidity. You know, I said to him, you're absolutely delusional. You know, there's some kind of a thing. I've talked to some women about this where they get some kind of a biological impulse that they need to have a baby. You know, if you remember, I think your first wife.
Do I know?
Okay. I was going to say your first wife went for the weekend with her aunt, as I recall.
Her aunt who lived in Fresh Meadows, Queens. Her aunt was 43.
Right.
And lived in Fresh Meadows, Queens. And she had a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and, oops, a baby.
Well, that's unusual at 43, especially in those days.
Well, so my wife at the time, who said she never wanted to have kids, said, I have to go see Irma in Fresh Meadows. I got to go out there and see the baby. So she goes out there.
I like the New York accent.
You like that? That's how she sounds. So...
Tom, you could still be married to her, okay?
Believe me, this was the only issue between us. We got along great in every other respect,
yeah.
Except that.
So she comes back lobotomized.
came back like, you know, oh my God, she joined a cult. You know, I have to have a baby. I have to have a baby.
You didn't say to her, honey, what about in like 10 years or something, you know?
I would say that if I were dating her, but I was married to her.
Right.
Women have a memory like an elephant, you know? If you say that, she'll have the calendar circle.
Right. The thing is that, you know, these have serious consequences. And, I mean, it's very harsh because part of what you have to do to be in a relationship fundamentally is to be in denial. And he's telling me that she's insisting on getting married just because she wants to certify the relationship or take it to the next level, which makes no sense. I said she's going to want to have a baby. And he says, no, we've agreed. That's no problem. So that's another complete denial. And you see that in this underpinning of how far you go, I have cases, every lawyer has cases nowadays in family law, where there's abuse claims and sex abuse claims, and these things are now more and more routine. And you say, my God, how could a woman go that far? You know, now if it was true, it would be one thing. But you look at these cases and you know that it's not true. But you see how she's using it and leveraging it as her nuclear option. And she's trying to stick it to the guy every which way that she can. And when you look at it, it's like so awful. It's the worst possible thing you could possibly do. And the woman's doing it. And you look at her in court and she's sitting there with a smirk on her face. And I think that, I don't know, about 5 years ago, but it seems to me that this is some kind of a change, that there's a real brutality. If you look at particularly the Clinton years with President Bill Clinton, when you had Carville sort of managing their PR or whatever he was doing, and when women were accusing Bill Clinton of, you know, grabbing them or molesting them or whatever, there would never be a response to the actual claim. They wouldn't say, you know, he never touched her, that's not true. They would always say, look at her, she's a slut, she's stupid, she's a stalker. They call Monica Lewinsky a psychotic stalker. And so that was to discredit her and therefore discredit the story. And I think that that's very much a factor in how it goes today, and that applies to everything now. You know, when you see the way a courtroom comes up, and I go in the morning and they've got 25 matters or 30 matters, and 15 of them or more are for restraining orders. And you see these average looking people come in, and the woman says, he was a monster. He tortured me for 12 years. He wouldn't let me leave the house. He's a danger to the children. Whereas if you looked at it, you know, 3 weeks ago, she was mailing out Christmas cards with a picture of the family and the little family story and the updates of, you know, Johnny got the trophy in soccer. And now she's saying how he's a molester and he's a psychopath. And without the planning aspect, again, not thinking about any future consequences, you know, you don't have to crush every single person that you disagree with. And, you know, we talk about calling someone a fascist or a child molester. I mean, that's heavy stuff. You should save that. That's not the first thing you should be coming up with. And it really is true that people were trying to suggest that we were in a post-racial world, that if you had a president who was black, and then he appoints an attorney general who's black, and we had a black secretary of defense, and we had a black secretary of state, or you have a woman secretary of state, or whatever, then it doesn't really matter anymore, that America became sort of oblivious to those differences, and now you just have a meritocracy where people get into the positions that they're in based on merit and based on their capability. So you want someone to be the Secretary of State, and you appoint the person who's the most qualified, who the president trusts, and if they're a man or a woman or whatever race or religion or whatever they are, it doesn't matter. You just want someone that you can, you know, do a good job with in that position. You see, in some crazy way, that actually people have become even more hyper-aware of race and religion and so forth. And in a very bizarre way, I actually saw this in a clip recently. You know, they have the police wearing these body cams, and this guy got pulled over for having an expired license plate, and he immediately says to the cop, you're only pulling me over because I'm a nigger, you know? And it's like, why, you got to be kidding. How could you come up with that, you know? That's literally how he greeted the officer when he rolled down his window, you know? And it's so twisted, and you see the impact that it's had in family law is just astounding. And I'm always amazed when I talk to guys now, because I'm like the cynical one, and I tell them, listen, I'm your lawyer, and you got to be aware your ex is probably going to go berserk, and she's going to make all kinds of claims, and you got to be prepared for that. And guys tell me, well, look, we're going to have a pretty amicable divorce, and I don't think it's going to get that bad. And, you know, she and I have an understanding, and, you know, we had a pretty good marriage, and just because it didn't work out in the end doesn't mean it was that bad, and blah, blah, blah. And then the guys, you know, come back, and we go through some of the process, and we get these papers from the woman, and she's writing these horrible things. And the guy tells me, I can't believe it. You were right. I never thought she would go this far. And it's just standardized. And I think the lawyers are very attuned to it. They know that the way to get what they want is to also make these horrible accusations and so forth. So this is something that's going on. It's something that people have to know. This is the level of things today, and this is how we roll. You know, there's a small example. This is not family law, but there was a – you probably saw this, Tom. There was an Uber driver who didn't want to deal with this passenger who was drunk or something, and he just told him to get out of the car. And the guy started punching him in the face and in the head and, like, really beat him up. This is all captured on video. Well, that guy actually had been an executive at Taco Bell, and they fired him because of this and all that, and he came on TV, and he was crying how sorry he was. Well, not that long. He is already now, this guy, the one who did the punching, he's suing the Uber driver for millions of dollars, saying that he invaded his privacy and ruined his life and made him lose his job and blah, blah, blah. So you see how we have a world that
now,
you know, is
really upside
down.
If this guy didn't hire Larry H. Barker, he hired a Larry H. Barker. You know he did. Somebody got to that guy and said, you know, your rights were violated. You know, we can get you some money for that.
With the New York accent, I noticed.
Probably.
But how was his rights violated, for God's sake?
Well, because he was recorded without his consent.
He was in public, man. No expectation of privacy. You know, Tom, when you talk about it, it's like you can never just say, you know what, I was wrong and I was an asshole and I deserve to get fired, you know? You always have to go off on the offensive, you know? Well, you know, you recorded me, you had no right to do that. Give me a break. Come on, stop it. And people are like, never ashamed. I posted an article yesterday on my Facebook. They had 6 different women that they interviewed about why they cheated on their husbands and the affairs that they had and what their reasons were. And they come off like psychopath murderers. They really do. You know, the classic psychopath commits the murder, and when they catch him, he says, you know, the victim deserved it, and I don't care, and blah, blah. Here, these women are all cheating on their husbands. They all pushed for marriage. They all carried on. And the husband married them and gave them a family and bought them a house. And here they are screwing around on him. And they feel absolutely no guilt. It's unbelievable. No guilt whatsoever. And each one explains that they were lonely or they weren't satisfied or they needed some ego boost. And there was a guy at work or there was a guy at the conference or there was a guy in some hotel somewhere when they were on a business trip. And they figured, why not? And they screw the guy and blah, blah. And then they talk about going home to the husband. Too bad on him. I don't feel guilty. I don't owe him anything. If he found out, I don't even care. You know, that's how it is now. That's the callousness. Guys have to realize that. And I still hear the same conversation, Tom. This is some kind of craziness in men where you say, yeah, I know what you mean. I've seen that, but my girl is different. You know? You just hear that all the time.
Well, of course I know that. Yeah. And by the way, these are the guys who call in. My girl would never do that.
Yeah, my girl is different than
that. I know there's a lot of bitches out there, but not my girl.
I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how guys can be so delusional that they really believe that. They really say it to me. And I say to them, listen, we got to prepare this. We got to get ready for her to file this and file a restraining order. And they say, oh, no, no, no. My wife, my girlfriend, whatever, she would never do that to me. And then when it comes and I tell them, here it is, I told you, they go, I can't believe it. I can't believe she did this. This isn't like her at all. I'm really shocked. Her mother must have forced her. They always come up with a story. Her lawyer tricked her into doing it. Because if I can just get her on the phone and talk to her, I'll get her to drop this because there's no way that she would do this. And I'm like, dude, here it is with her signature. Okay? Come on. No, no, man. There's no way. Not my girl. So you see what a joke it has to be. People are looking right in the face of it. And it's really hurt us as a society. It really is. You see how people get into conflicts over everything. You see neighbors fighting things. And this idea that you're going to marry this woman that's going to, like, take care of you and, you know, raise your kids and wax the floors, forget it. Just forget it. You got to see these excuses these women are making for all their infidelities with no conscience whatsoever.
Yep. I don't really care if they're faithful as long as I'm not paying their rent Adam, that's how I feel about it.
Well, think about Faithful Tom. These women write in these stories, I'm pretty sure my second child is not my husband's child, you know?
Yep.
Are you freaking kidding?
Well, you know, I watch Maury literally 5 days a week. I watch every single episode of Maury.
Okay, so there is statistics analysis of this, Tom. We're not just talking the United States, and we're not just talking the scumbags that are on Maury, okay? They're saying in these statistics that worldwide, so that includes Saudi Arabia and everywhere else, okay? Worldwide, 20% of children are being raised by a man who thinks he's their father, but he's not. That's a lot of fooling around on women's part, don't you think?
Well, I've seen different numbers. I've seen everything from 5% to 30%.
Okay, so I said 20, but it's something.
Right, it's definitely believe me, I'm totally suspicious.
Yeah, but you mean,
and I would never tell a guy that he should take a woman's word for it. Every baby born, there should be mandatory DNA tests.
Right. You also want a parliamentary system in the United States, I remember.
I do. But if there is mandatory testing, you can certainly make the rule for yourself. You're not ever going to pay a penny of child support until you know for a fact that that's your kid.
The thing is that, you know, when you talk about a relationship, right, these women go on this weekend or whatever for work, screw another guy. Obviously, they're not using protection, right? I mean, if they're getting pregnant
right.
and having his baby, obviously they were pretty freaking careless. Wouldn't you as a woman be really careful about who you get pregnant by? Wouldn't that be kind of like a big issue? It's unbelievable how reckless they are when it comes to this.
And because they want to be knocked up by a jerk. That's what they want. We've seen more stories about this, more scientific studies. Men looking for women looking for alpha males to impregnate them. And then Poindexter will get the responsibility of raising those kids.
Right. And then they feel absolutely no guilt. But the joke of the matter is how as men can we be so stupid to put ourselves into the position of being the beta guy, of being Poindexter, and of all things raising another man's bastard child? You got to be kidding me. I mean, seriously. To be deceived like that, it's really, really, really heavy. That's, you look at the societies like the Arab societies where women are not allowed to go outside unless they're veiled or they're accompanied by a male relative. That's the reason that they did that. Crazy as it is, it's because they're scared of women's infidelity. They understand how women are crazy like this. And they're so hysterical to keep their bloodlines that they figure if you have the woman being watched 24/7 and there's no way for her to have contact with a man, then that's the only way to keep her faithful, because if you give her 5 minutes, she's going to fuck around. And maybe they're right. They look at us as in our Western society and they think we're completely crazy. They watch Maury too, Tom.
By the way, many countries, they watch Maury now. And, you know, there's so much of this shit going on. I am blown away by how many men do not want to know if their kids are theirs. I think the numbers would be a lot higher if men actually went out and did a mandatory DNA test. In other words, mandatory for themselves. They said, I'm not ever going to pay for a child that's not mine, so I am always going to know for sure. And, I don't see why men don't do that. It just boggles my mind.
Well, I really think, you know, in terms of people that have been raising children, you know that after 2 years you can't, you know, claim against it anymore. And you can end up having to pay child support for a child that you could show is not yours genetically. But you have to think about it from a point of view of a guy. I mean, if you really, really got attached to a child and it got attached to you, and then you find out when the kid's 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever that it's not your child, then what are you going to do, cut the child off? I mean, that's horrible. So your proposal is actually logical in a way, because if it was done right at birth, then you could resolve the issue right then and there before anything stupid happens, you know? But you would find, Tom, that probably 10-20% or more are actually not the child of that father. And then what the hell would happen then? You think women would sit for that?
Well, good question.
Yeah, but if you look at the legislation today, it's all about protecting women and protecting children and protecting women's rights. So this law you're talking about mandatory DNA testing, women aren't going to let that get through. No way. No way, because they need to trick men. That's part of their whole game is deception. So you're going to screw that up for them? There's no way. There's no way they would allow that. That's not going to happen.
Well, put it this way. I would never pay a dime in child support without a DNA test, period. Go ahead and leave me.
Yeah, but if it had already been 2 years with you with the child, the DNA test
would
matter.
Never get to that. The point is, when that baby is born, you say, let's get a DNA test.
If you're in a relationship with a woman and you love her and you guys are, you know, doing good together, you have a child, and you turn around and say to her, I think you're maybe a slut. I want to make sure. I need a DNA test. This is not going to improve things, Tom. Trust me.
But the point is, you put that in your prenuptial agreement.
Oh, there
that
we go.
You're going to test every kid born just to be sure.
Right. So this is the less than 1% of people that get prenuptial agreements. You got to remember.
Again. I believe in mandatory prenuptial agreements, too.
Okay.
But we don't have that, so I would say if you're going to get married, A, you got to have a prenuptial agreement, and B, that you've got to put in there mandatory DNA testing for every child born. Mandatory. There'll be no debating it when the kid is born. There'll be no discussing it or arguing it. It will be in writing.
Very interesting. I think you're going to have to wait a while. I don't think that's coming anytime
soon. Wait for what?
For this new legislation you're talking about.
Not legislation. I'm saying there's such a thing as making legislation for yourself.
Right.
So if you insist on getting married, you're going to say, A, you're signing a prenup.
Okay.
And if you don't, we're not getting married. It's that simple.
Right.
And B, the prenup is going to contain a clause that says that every child born to us, we debate it at the time it happens. Because anything can happen between now and the time you have kids, or now and the time you have your last kid, whatever. So we're going to agree now that even though I love you and you're going to be faithful to me forever and ever and ever, we're going to put in the prenup that there's going to be a mandatory DNA test for every child born.
Right. Except the problem is that I'm talking to a guy who is already set the wedding date, so that it's too late to get a prenup. And he's telling me, I don't need a prenup anyway because my girl is different.
He's going to pay for it the hard way.
That's right. That's going to be the majority of people in any case. So that's the thing you have to really prepare for, Tom. Not the smart people, but the dumb people.
And there's a lot of them.
No doubt.
I had to cough there, Adam, or otherwise I would have said, let's take a break.
Okay.
So
I always
you
let you do
pregnant
the
pause for
I,
me.
I
fine.
Let you do the stage direction, Tom. I know you like
well,
that.
Well, yes. Well, I'm doing it. That was a cough, and I turned the cough button on.
Okay.
So people wouldn't hear the cough.
I know. I'm not sitting
and
in front of you, so I don't know.
Normally, if I'm working with a radio, yeah, you're an attorney. That's your profession. If I'm working with a professional broad chaser, that person, if they heard silence, would jump in and vamp for me until I was able to speak again.
Okay.
And this is Radio 101. I'm telling you that if you hear silence, you don't let silence go on. You jump in and cover for it. Even if you don't know the reason for the silence, you jump right in so it doesn't sound dead.
Excellent.
Make sense?
You taught me everything I know about radio, Tom.
I'm still teaching.
Yes.
As you know.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, let's take that break now. That's Adam Sachs. Adam Sachs is here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs, and that means we are taking your calls, your questions. If you're getting a divorce, if you are separated, if you are worried about paying vagina money or child support, who's going to get custody of your kids, for God's sake? Maybe you're dealing with whether you should have a prenuptial agreement, as we were just discussing, or a postnuptial agreement. Are they worth the paper they're printed on? Or maybe you've just gotten a restraining order from your lovely wife who loves you so much. All you have to do is call right now with your legal question. This is free legal advice for you from our friend, family law attorney Adam Sachs. All you have to do is call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-TOM. 866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. With family law attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Let's go, boys. 901 800-800-3866. Here is Edson in Victoria, B.C. Edson, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom. How are you today?
Doing great. How about you?
Hey, Edson.
Hi, thank you. Hey, Adam, I love your show so much. I'm obsessed with listening to your show every Tuesday.
Thank you.
Nice!
I wanted to ask you a question, Adam. I want to get married, perhaps this year or something. But I just wanted to know what ways I can protect myself so that I can have my rights not stolen or not taken away from me, especially if I wish to have children and family, and in the future, God forbid, a divorce happens, that I don't lose all my rights, that I don't end up being under the accusation, like what I'm hearing in these horror stories, that she doesn't take almost all my wealth or avoid me from having visitation or seeing my children or raising my kids.
Right. I mean, look, you know, the reality is that the laws are not fair and balanced. I mean, they're very, very slanted in the woman's favor. And
they're worse in Canada.
Yeah, by the way, that's
true. I know.
Canada's a big vagina. If you look I'm just saying, you know, if you look at the big picture, the odds are very, very much against you. I would say if you have to do this, and I don't know why, the woman you choose is crucial. This thing where these guys do these whirlwind romances and they meet a woman and they're married to her a few weeks later, that's crazy. You should be with someone you should be with someone for a number of years. You really know the ins and outs. I mean, you know, people can put on an act to some degree for a limited amount of time. But, you know, if you're with someone for years and years and years, you've got to know much more who they really are. And then, obviously, what we talk about the most important is the prenuptial agreement. Absolutely critical. That's the only way to really protect yourself financially, to talk about what the circumstances are going to be and, you know, what's expected. And if you do get a divorce, you know, how it's going to look. And you can get rid of the issue of alimony, and you can manage child support and your, you know, individual property and a lot of other factors. But as we see, the vast majority of people do not do that. And if you're going to go in blind, you know, a lot of guys say, well, I don't have anything. But the real question is how do you look at yourself? Do you expect to never have anything? Or, you know, what if you're with her for 10 years and you do accumulate a lot of assets? How are you going to feel about handing them over to her? And, you know, it's not 50-50. Right. She wants 100%, you know. Guys say, well, it's okay, I'll give her half. And I know you're not going to give her half. And she's going to have her hand in your pocket for years thereafter, getting support and child support and spousal support. And you got to make sure you get a woman that works. That's very critical. Because if her expectation and her experience being married to you was staying home and not working, raising the kids or whatever, she's going to say that that's her standard of life and that you're going to have to support her, perhaps even for the rest of your life if your marriage is, you know,
for
a certain distance. Absolutely. You know, I cannot believe how many guys get involved and stay with a woman who refuses to work. Now, if you have a woman...
Well, I thought we're fulfilling the... classical gender role that the man works, the woman stays home, takes care of the kid. Now we're being punished for that concept.
Oh, absolutely. That is absolutely not logical. If you are doing this thing where you stay, you know, allow her to stay home, she's going to later on claim that she doesn't have skills. She's starting it from scratch in the job market. I've seen this time and time again. The courts will order her to look for a job or to try to get a job, and she'll come back a few months later saying that she can't find a job and she's unable to work, and the court is going to just keep giving her your money. And that can go on for years, or that can go on permanently. It's amazing how... Yeah, but one second. It's amazing how a very liberated woman will scream and yell about how equal she is, and then she has no shame coming into court and saying, oh, I'm just a stupid little girl, and I can't support myself, and I need my ex-husband to take care of me. And you say, like, I can't believe that she would have no shame about it, but there it is. Happens all the time.
But how do you, like, say I say a married woman who is educated and she has a company. I can't support her to work if she doesn't want to work.
No, but you have to look at what's going on when you get involved with her. A lot of guys will marry a woman who's working, and as soon as they get married or as soon as they move into a house or as soon as she gets pregnant, she immediately quits her job and never goes back.
Exactly. How do you make it work then?
Well, again, you have to have someone who's more ambitious than that. And after the baby's born or whatever, you know, maybe she spends a few weeks or months with the new baby, and then you say, okay, honey, it's time to get back to work, you know? But
she says no.
What are you going to do? Listen, are you going to pull out a gun and make her do it? I mean, this is the reality of being married. You're giving away all your leverage. You know, the leverage that you had or any ability to persuade her is now gone. And if you say to her, I'm not going to tolerate this, then she goes, good, screw you. You know, divorce me. I'll ruin you. That's why you can't do it. It's just too dangerous. You're setting yourself up for too much heartbreak.
There's no prenup, and there's no prenup, like Tom Marcus said, where the way he did it, that there's no loophole, nothing. There's no prenup I can do that can protect me in this case either.
Yeah, but you can make a prenup, but what if she's not going to abide by it? Are you prepared to divorce her at that point?
Well, Tom Marcus made a prenup, and she didn't abide by it. He divorced her, and he didn't use anything.
Well,
you have to make a prenup that's just a kilo like that.
Well, Tom Likas did a prenup. Hold on. He did a prenup with a judge as the person who was overseeing the prenup. It was on video.
Right.
She had her own
right.
lawyer. I mean, you'd be amazed
right.
how many people do
Do you know how much
UPS?
That costs, Edson?
Tom, well, how many people
said,
do the UPS prenup?
Wait a minute. Tom Likas, you said it's worth it. It's less than...
No, if you're going to get married, it's worth it. But my opinion, and we'll get the legal opinion of our attorney in a second, my opinion is the best way to make sure you don't get taken to the cleaners is to not get married.
But I want to have a family.
You can have a family.
Do it the gay
way. You do not need to be married.
But you said... I'm confused.
I said don't get married. What can I tell you? I said if you want to have kids, have them with a surrogate. Do not have them with
a
specific woman.
But what about a mom? Don't the kid need a mom too?
Not necessarily. By the way, kids are being raised without dads all the time now.
Well, people are raised by the nanny at this point, Tom. Mom's working.
Yeah, but society is all okay with it. Society says kids don't need fathers. Father's not as important as a mom.
Yeah, well, guess what? Today's women don't stay home and raise your kids anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no kidding. Of course not. The nanny is who gets called mom. Things have really changed. You see these little kids that speak Spanish, and they're hugging the nanny, and they think that she's their mom because their real mom couldn't be bothered, you know? She wouldn't degrade herself by breastfeeding or changing a diaper or... You know, being with her kids.
So you're telling me modern women now find breastfeeding degrading?
Well, they find motherhood degrading. breastfeeding's the least of it. The whole concept of being with your kid, and you say, look, a woman says, I've got a PhD, and I have a master's degree, and I have to degrade myself playing blocks with a baby? Forget it.
Can I tell you something? Nowadays, women are becoming dumber by the second. That's the most precious job in the world, more important than any company. And
yeah, well, guess what? Today's women have been told they can have it all. They can have a baby, and they can have a career, and they believe it. And that is why we're a continent of latchkey kids in daycare, and kids who are a bunch of fucking carjackers and looters and muggers because they're growing up in this environment. That's what's out there.
That's a little reality there, Tom. I agree with you, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
That's funny that guys have this kind of expectation. I don't know, you know, what your cultural background is, but it's amazing to me that
whatever country you're from, that where you got those beliefs, maybe you need to go back there and get married.
Well, that might be true, Tom, but what I was going to say is that, you know, even in the case of guys like you, Tom, that like women, for example, from other countries, what tends to happen is that if they live in the Canada or the USA or the Western countries, they become westernized very, very quickly. Our society is very seductive, and so even
that's
if
why
find,
I said he should go back to whatever country he's from and marry somebody there.
No, but not just marry; you'd have to stay there.
Right? I totally agree. Edson, what country are you originally from?
Okay, originally I'm from Lebanon, but that country's trash.
All right, Lebanon's got some problems. Okay, a little civil war there.
It's in countries like that where women still fulfill the traditional gender roles.
Yeah, but Tom, if you took a Lebanese girl and you married her and brought her to the U.S.
I did not say he should come back here with her. I said he should go there and get married, and then, in case it wasn't specifically clear, stay there where that is the culture.
And raise the kids in Lebanon? Ugh.
But again, if you want to find women like this, they are in third world countries. That is where they are.
Well, that's slim pickings, Tom.
So let me get this straight. You're telling me that family structure only works in third world countries, and when a country becomes advanced, disaster happens. Is that what you're telling me?
Have you checked on the divorce rate in Canada or the United States? Have you seen what it is?
I'm actually reading articles right now on Google saying solo mom is super mom. The children don't need fathers.
That's where you're getting your information from, moms?
Oh, my God.
I'm getting it from the society.
All right, well, that's Benson, wishful thinking, pal.
Don't you ever read anything written by a man?
Every time I read something written by a man, they're bashing him. They're calling him.
Who's bashing him? Read something written by a man for men to read.
I'm so feminized, it's not even funny. Okay.
you need to man up, Edson.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so much estrogen, it's not even funny. Yeah.
Well, getting married in North America to a Caucasian woman or to a woman who is a native of this part of the world or has lived here a long time is guaranteed to get you what you don't want, divorce and just a lifetime of sadness.
That's just sad.
That's what it is.
The reality's got to be, and this is painful for someone, let's say, from a more traditional culture, Tom. You know, when you say to him...
Because I want a family. I want to expand and raise and help out. And I'm scared.
I totally understand that.
There's a harder story.
Yeah, but the reality
is... I
want
to know if there's a way to protect myself.
Well, the reality is, Tom was talking about doing what the gays do. And, you know, having a surrogacy or whatever. But then you turn around and say something logical. I want my kids to have a family life and I want them to have a mother. The problem is that I don't know that it's really possible to have both. It really seems cruel on some level, but you're going to sooner or later have to put your trust in a woman who very likely is going to fuck you over. That's the problem.
But I see a lot of people with mom and dad walking around. They're talking like, I don't see it as a disaster made up. Like
But the point is, you know, there's also winners of Powerball walking around. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be one of the winners.
Oh, man.
And by the way, I go with data. Look at the numbers. Look at the percentages of married people who get divorced. Look at the percentages of women who are single mothers.
They're very high.
Right. So even if you're seeing mom and dad going out and flying a kite in the park on the weekend, that doesn't mean that's what's likely to happen to you.
Yeah.
I just met, actually, believe it or not, I met a single mom receptionist. She weighs like 500 pounds. And she's proud to be single mom.
Yeah, I mean, that's an even bigger joke.
No, that's what we're talking about.
No, they have that now, Tom. There's various articles that I've seen lately where they have these women that they profile and that they call them single mothers by choice. And they're saying
how happy
they are and how wonderful it is and you don't need a man and what's the point of you know, humiliating your children by having a father around. And how much healthier they're going to be emotionally without, you know, someone in the house abusing them and all this. And, I mean, this is something that women are working very, very hard to convince themselves of. And they're telling themselves how great it is and how wonderful it's going to be without a guy and all this. And, I mean, I just don't know how you can get beyond such idiotic thinking. I mean, it's just too much. It's so bizarre. But on the other hand...
And people comment appraising her. And people commenting, yeah, go girl. And people commenting,
you go girl.
Yeah.
Right. Edson, you're making our point for us.
The thing is, Tom, that if you did come from this more traditional thinking And he's, you know, he's from the Arab world, you know, it's a completely different way of thinking. He's going to want to have a family. It's very important. You see how important it is to Hispanics, for example.
Yeah, but he's not living in the world he came from. He's living in a world where women are bitches and cunts. He's not living in a country where women do what the men tell them to do or stay home with children. That's not the world he's living in. He's living in British Columbia.
That's right.
The thing is, what would you then do, Tom? How would you work it both ways? How could you?
You can't work it both ways. You just, if you insist on getting married, if you insist on ignoring my advice and going ahead and getting married and having children, you have to write the most restrictive prenuptial agreement you can. Which would include, Adam Sachs does that. That's part of what he does.
Yeah, but she's going to turn around and say that she won't sign it.
Then the problem solved. If somebody is with you in order to take what you have or take your children away, that's a good way to find that out before you make a big mistake.
You know, there was.
By the way,
there was
as many times as I was married. Do you know how many women I told they would have to sign a prenup? I told you, and you've heard me say it on the show. I used to have a cardboard box from Kinko's with the lid taken off. So it said Kinko's upside down because I would take the lid off, put it underneath the box. So the box was nested inside the top of the box from Kinko's. And it had 32-page collated, redacted prenuptial agreements. I took actual prenuptial agreements, redacted all the information about people's income and what the property they own, but left the rest of it intact. And it said, written in Sharpie on the side of the box, take one. And you'd be amazed how many women I dated took one of those, came back and said, I can't believe you made me read that. I can't believe you would expect me to sign that. And, you know, the women I married. I'm sorry.
Close for no cigar.
That's how you find out what their real agenda is, by saying, read this 32-page agreement. Let me know what you think.
Can Adam start working while in Canada? Can he be my lawyer while he's actually from Canada?
Of course. Anything, no problem. Give me a call. But
we'll put you on hold there, Edson.
The best I can say, Edson,
Adam
is
Adam will get the job done.
No problem, but I just think you got to go in with your eyes open. That's all I can say. Things ain't what they used to be, and they're not like
Edson
the way they are.
Edson doesn't want his eyes open. He wants to close his eyes and jump off a cliff.
He thinks he's living in Lebanon. He's going to find some country girl. Some loyal country girl from the village. And the truth is, even if she didn't exist, I mean, if you actually could find that girl, she would be 100% Americanized within a year. She would actually probably end up being worse than an American woman, even crazier.
Well, he's not American. He's Canadian.
I meant the mentality and so forth.
Right. North American. Yeah. Which, by the way, Canada, the United States, the Caucasians are the same thing. By the way, Mexico is part of North America.
Yeah, of course.
And Mexico, now again, if you bring a Mexican girl back to the United States, yes, she'll become Americanized. But if you move to Mexico, marry a farm girl, you'll get what you want. Someone who's obedient, someone who will do what you want, is family-oriented, wants to raise kids, wants to stay home raising the kids, doesn't want to get divorced. That's what you'll get. But if you're going to live in Canada, if you're going to live in Victoria, you're going to get a different kind of woman. And that's the kind of woman who's going to take everything you have.
I would be very surprised how long this farm girl remains a farm girl and doesn't become 100% culturally acclimated and starts demanding
everything
an American
woman wants. But again, I keep saying you would have to, like in Mexico, in the case of Mexico, you'd have to move to Mexico and find the girl on the farm, move there, live there, raise your family there.
I don't know. It doesn't sound very realistic to me, Tom.
Well, people, by the way, we have many Mexican-American listeners who've done just that. Many of them have never been to Mexico or never lived there for any period of time or not born there. They go in the opposite direction. They have a mom and a dad from Mexico, and they get the son wants to marry somebody like mom. And the way to marry somebody like mom is to go where mom came from.
That's bullshit. It's like wanting to marry someone like your mom, okay? It's not going to happen. They're not making women like that anymore, period. I don't care if you go back to Mexico.
You should watch this movie, Adam, if you haven't seen it, called Cowboy Del Amor.
I've seen it.
And
you turned me on to it years ago.
All right. Well, you know what? When you go to a small town in a place like Mexico or other places, you're going to find women with traditional values, and as long as you don't import them to the United States, they will continue to have traditional
values. But he was a matchmaker. Those girls in Mexico were marrying the guys in Texas and moving to Texas, right?
They were. That's where I would differ. I would not move them to Texas. I would keep them in Mexico.
Okay.
I would. If that's what I wanted, that's what I would do.
I think you're rolling the dice, baby. That's all I can say.
Oh, I wouldn't get married, but if I was that intent on getting married, raising kids, being with a family-oriented, traditional person with traditional female values, that's how I would do it. I have no interest in getting married, but that's how I would do it.
Right.
Right?
Okay, I'm with you.
Oh, and I'm not getting married. But that's what I would.
Well, we won't let you. Don't worry. Gary and I will drag you to a cabin and we'll beat you up with
Won't
those
have
Nerf
to do it. I'm done. I am done, done, done. Okay. No interest.
Good. Attaboy.
No interest. Not necessary. Edson Dean is going to put you in touch with Adam. And I'm sure Adam will continue this conversation with you. And we'll see what happens. Good luck. Edson's a frequent caller, by the way, so
I'm sure we'll
get an update. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. We might even take one more call here coming up on this bonus hour, which has now gone beyond an hour. Our number here, 901-3000-TOM, if you want to talk to Adam Sachs. If you've got questions about marriage, divorce, separation, child support, custody, prenups, postnups, 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. Our next caller, by the way, has something to say about visitation. He ain't getting any. 901-3000-866.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Yeah, it's a Tom Likas Show. Yes, it is. Adam Sachs, how can people about to do something stupid or trying to undo something stupid, how do they get in touch with you?
You can give me a call, toll free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can also email me. I answer them personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, here we go, 901-3000-TOM. This is Bert in Huntington Beach on the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Hello.
I'm not doing so great. Hi, Adam. How
Sorry
are you doing
to hear
today?
It, man. What's the matter?
All right, just an hour ago, I went to the mother of my kid's house to see my kid. You know, today is my visitation day, and she opens the door with my kid in her arms. My kid has no shoes, no jacket. It's cold. I'm calling from Southern California right now. It's cold. And she's just hugging him and, you know, getting in that situation so my kid would not want to come with me. And she's like, oh, so you don't want to come with your daddy? Why don't you explain him? Why don't you want to come with him? And I'm like, I don't care whether he likes to come with me or not. You know, the court order says that today is my visitation, so please put some shoes on him, put his jacket on, and I'm going to take him with me. And she just slams the door in my face.
Yeah, well, that's classic. That's classic female nonsense. They get into this thing, a child that young cannot make the decision not to visit. And a woman will prime him up and say, when daddy gets here, say this and act this way and blah, blah, blah. She's just being a selfish bitch.
Yeah, and the thing is that we have an agreement that my lawyer and her lawyer put together because she didn't want to face the judge, where in this agreement says that I have 50% physical, 50% legal, and it also said that I have certain days during the week. However, since we went to court and had that agreement signed, this has been a month and a half, I haven't seen my kid during the week. She only lets me see my kid every other weekend. So I'm seeing my kid only twice a month. The thing with this is that I'm becoming this kind of stranger to my kid, this guy that comes and pick him up. He calls me dad, but the concept of dad is not in his head.
Right. Well, what she wants to do is she wants to ease you out of his life and then replace you with her new boyfriend or her new husband and get the child to kind of be more attached to him. This is a very spiteful thing that women do, and you're letting her do it. If you have an agreement for shared custody, that doesn't just sit there. You have to enforce it. And you said, for example, she lets me see him. Well, that's nonsense. That's, again, suggesting the way women think, that the child belongs to her, it's her property, and she can do with it as she likes. And so once in a while, she lets you, as the father, see your child. The truth is, it's your child. It's 50-50. It's not 51-49. It's 50-50. But you're not going to be able to get that enforced unless you enforce it. It doesn't come automatically. And women are relentless. So she is chipping away at all times, and guys get tired of fighting. And they expect that the woman's going to knock it off, but they never do. And so if you're going to, you know, have this post-divorce custody plan with her, you're going to have to enforce it. And if she's playing games with you, then you have to have a really tough lawyer who takes her back to court right away until she learns her lesson. It sounds to me like your lawyer and her lawyer were friends and just sort of, you know, typed something up and hope for the best. And that's never going to work.
Oh, my. I'm going to put you on hold, Bert. You will... We'll put you right in touch with Adam, so you can talk to him further. And once again, give us your information, Adam. How can people get in touch with you?
Definitely toll-free, 800-340-7320, or adam@adamlawyer.com. And Tom,
you
heard that story. Don't let that happen to you guys.
Right. Don't let it happen to you, for God's sake. All right. All right, if you missed any part of this hour, maybe you're listening on demand, of course, the show will repeat, but also there'll be another live edition of the bonus hour, and Adam Sachs will return. It's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
There's no news in there.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner and get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
yay.
Beer Magazine, right here in Garden Grove. A man arrested Tuesday on suspicion of stabbing his wife several times with a large meat cleaver in front of their daughter.
Yeah. I wonder if it was a good meat cleaver, like the kind you would find at Thompson's.
Well, Thang Van Nigen.
Oh, yeah, no, not so good.
He got the good meat cleaver.
Thang. He's that Thang. For real.
Yeah. Apparently there was a little relationship problem going on there. A little marital issue.
You know, the Flower Street was known to rock and roll.
7-year-old child witnessed that. 19-year-old was in the house, but she didn't see it.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Thang.
No, he gave that Thang. And that was it.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrible, because if our friend could, like, whip it around and, like, you know...
Chop, chop.
Man. I wish he was like a donut dude. Then she wouldn't be dead. But
That would be different.
Yeah. We'd be having a whole nother story about how she got glazed and powdered instead of kilted. So that part sucks.
It does indeed. Matthew Clate McDonald, who appeared on a show called Bamazon.
Yeah.
On the History Channel.
Well,
he's been arrested for murder. How about your friend?
Well, Bamazon has to do with Alabama, And
apparently so.
Our friend is now in charge, been charged with murder. Somebody he'd been shooting pool with hours earlier.
That's pretty crazy,
officials,
right?
Officials have said, yeah. Mm. I guess the body was found Sunday in a wooded area somewhere in Alabama that nobody knows, Barron's Bridge Road outside of Dadeville. And believe me, Tallapoosa County Sheriff, he's on this right away.
Mm. I guess this Amazon thing, they were looking for gold or something in,
yeah,
them,
they
in
go
their hills.
Out of work Alabama construction workers then went south to South America, and they started looking. And our friend left halfway through the expedition and didn't get a piece of what turned out to be a modest gold strike of $17,000. Seven miners split their find, and amounting to just $2,400 a piece.
A woman whose boyfriend forced her to have sex with a female prostitute and filmed it, then posted video and images to porn websites, says she felt like a performing donkey.
I
don't know why she said that, but she said that. Those are her words, not
why
mine.
Why smear the donkey, though?
I don't know. By the way, I think
how
that
do you
happened,
compare it to the
think
two?
That happened in Australia.
It did.
How you
it
going?
Did. But,
donkey boy.
Our friend was too busy skydiving to realize what was going on.
The woman known as Amira, to protect her identity, was worried her son would be exposed to the images.
To her then partner known as Hashim.
Hashim.
Who had previously shown his son online pornography.
Right. Wow, what a crazy situation there.
By the way, Hashim threatened to show the footage and images to Amira's family if she didn't do as told.
Every time the name Manti Te'o is mentioned, I get a good little chuckle.
So do I.
He apparently now has a real girlfriend, but there's a twist.
Yep, there's a slight twist. Manti has found himself a nice little lady from Arizona. Only a nice little lady, according to her track record. Not so nice, because she's been arrested so many times. I can't figure out, one time for alleged drug possession, another time for theft, all kind of crazy stuff. All of this, of course, appears in, posted through, Arizona official Maricopa County, records and stuff. So she has been charged numerous times, but she's a piece of ass.
She is, no doubt, and I'm sure that he is just thrilled to have it. But he is, as we've figured out, rather naive when it comes to shit.
He is, and let me tell you something. Just taking one gander at this girl, our friend Manti Te'o is going against, running backs coming at him as fast as humanly possible and smashing into him. That will be nothing compared to the damage that this girl does.
I know.
Absolutely nothing.
Did you see this dying dude? There's a story in New York about this dying dude who...
Timson
like,
have him on the Deadpool because he has everybody else.
I know. Mr. Deadpool. And he he runs into a stripper. I guess he gets some kind of disease. He's going to die eventually. And he runs into this stripper. And within a matter of days, she's convinced him to leave everything to her. And the family's very pissed. Oh,
as
the
they should
very
be.
Very pissed off.
As they should be.
But apparently, she was giving wonderful sexual favors, and that
everything was going great.
Oh yeah, everything changed.
Everything was done right, except now is bad. Yeah.
Finally, a pick alert for you. It's Sarah Harris. Let me introduce you to her. She's out of New Zealand. She's been in Maxim and some form
going?
Of Playboy. And how you going? Was she a Kiwi? What do they call you?
Yeah, yeah, Kiwi.
This girl is
split
phenomenal.
That wow.
Jeez, just normally...
She's so hot, she even makes the mumbling Mario sound correct.
Mumbling Mario, yeah.
Exactly. All of a sudden, he's speaking perfectly. Hey, she's that hot.
Yeah, he snaps to it. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
He's that thing.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show for you every single Friday. You just go to GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I was really injured by the whole bathroom scene.
Oh, yeah.
And, Yeah, that was a bad one because, yeah.
Wow. Michael Caine.